hang on a second. Okay, I think we are officially recording. So, and I got the all clear from Tess that it sounds great. So,
right.
I'd like to welcome everyone to today's Horse Conscious Call, and I'm delighted to welcome our very special guest, Sandra Wallin. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you very much, Mark. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great to at last touch base, and I'm sorry it's taken so long to get back to you. Somehow, well, I, as you know, tomorrow's March, and so it goes on, doesn't it? It's just so
it does.
Quick.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind since we saw each other in June.
Yeah,
I mean,
when was that? Back in.
It was in June, yeah, when Stormy and Kim and Connie and you and Davina and your beautiful Elka were all here.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, so let's hope we can do that again sometime.
I'd love that. Kim actually was saying there might be a rumor that you might be coming back in June again.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to come over and spend some time over there with you guys and, you know, shoot the second DVD with Kim, because we just had so much fun there. And, of course, we all did when we got together at Connie's. So
it was
a bit of a closed shop to everyone listening, but it's not really not meant to be. It's just how it happened. You guys were touring around, and we happened to gatecrash the party, so it was wonderful.
Perfect. You're welcome to crash anytime.
Thank you. Okay, so we do have some questions, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to get stuck into what you do and what's Chiron's Way. Is that how you pronounce it?
Chiron, actually. My business is named after the Greek centaur, who is known as the Wounded Healer. And when I was first trying to find a name for my business, I wanted to find a name that encapsulated the horse-human connection. But centaurs were so often thought of as quite rogue and violent creatures. And then I happened upon Chiron's myth, and as I read it, it just fits so beautifully for what I wanted to do. And as a therapist, one of the things we do often is help people find the wisdom in the places where they've been wounded. And that's what Chiron's myth is all about.
Yeah,
so that's
perfect.
How the name came to be.
Yeah, perfect. So how long have you been trading as Chiron's Way then?
I have been doing equine-assisted work since about 1999. I started doing it in the public school system where I'm a teacher and a school counselor. And in 96, I went back to school and got my master's in counseling psychology. And so after I started working and had children, I realized that I wasn't going to go back to school full-time and that I wanted to start my own private practice. And so that's when I think I incorporated around 2002. But I'd been working with horses and children on my counseling caseload since about 99.
So you came from a strictly kind of educational school background, and then you got more into the sort of counseling as you went along, and therefore, as you did your master's and all of that.
Yeah.
What I know
about good teachers is that they always do a bit of counseling, and what I know about good counselors is they always do teaching. So there was this natural fit to be able to blend the two things that I loved the most in the school system. And then, of course, working with animals is something my dog growing up had always been such a wonderful gateway for me. And in university, I worked part-time in a group home situation with mentally challenged folks. And I used to bring Cody, my dog, to work with me, and seeing the kinds of effects he had. So he actually kind of started laying the groundwork for me. And I'd always been a horse lover since, you name it. My parents couldn't afford to give me horse lessons, so I would ride my bike up the mountain when I was, I guess, about grade 7. And I went up and asked if I could clean stalls to be around horses, and there was no turning back after that. So I've always found a way to have horses in my life, even though I haven't been able to have my own. And then Grace, my very, very first horse family member, came into my life when I was 39, which is 5 years ago. I'm feeling old. But I've always found a way of having horses in my life, even though they weren't my own horse family. And then Greg and I moved to this property 7 or 8 years ago with the intention of me being able to have horses here to work with in my private practice.
Oh, great. And so where does Linda Kahanoff fit into all of this? And when did you study with Linda?
Through my life so often. When I was on my journey of trying to find people to teach me in what's called so many different things now, equine-guided learning, equine-facilitated wellness, I mean, there's so many acronyms for it. But back in those days, probably early 2000s-ish, I don't remember when the Tao of Equus came out, I was walking through a local bookstore, and a book fell off the shelf in front of me, and I bent down to pick it up, and it was this beautiful blue book with this black horse running across the front, and oh, this is so beautiful, and it was the Tao of Equus, and then it was hardcover, and I thought, I'll just put it back for now and buy it when it comes out in softcover. And then a week later, I was down in Seattle at the NARA conference, and at that time, they only had a few people there speaking on equine-facilitated wellness. And as it turns out, I show up at this lecture, and it was Linda, and there was her book sitting there. So I went, okay, pay attention, this is pretty exciting. So I enrolled in the Pona Approach class and went down to take that class and actually arrived on the day that Spirit was born. And I got to spend time, because I stayed right on site, I got to spend time with Kathleen and Linda and some of the other people there, staying up in the night and holding Spirit up to nurse from Rasa and sleeping there. And it was just the most incredibly humbling and beautiful and transformative experience. And so after that, I knew I wanted to carry on with my studying and learning from Linda. And so I enrolled in the apprenticeship class, was part of the very first group that went through. And again, just the more I learned, the more I realized that I did learn there as well. And I just keep thinking about how many wonderful people I met there. And the horses, of course, are always leading the way in terms of what I'm learning. And meeting Linda's herd was, again, wonderful. Spirit had grown up a bit by then. Getting to spend time with Noche was a gift in and of itself. And I just felt so blessed by being able to be there. Mm. And then Linda came here. Gosh, my years are running together. But a few years after that, she came and taught a workshop here. Blessedly, she called it Chiron's Way, the Art of the Wounded Healer. And we had a large group of people come from all over North America, and one of those people was Kim. And that's where I got to meet Kim for the very first time, and Connie I'd met before, but Connie and Kim came together. And that's where Linda and Kim sort of hooked up around the Way of the Horse cards. And they started birthing that experience together. So Linda, and then I went back to Epona to when Linda and Kim were talking about how to bring the cards together, and they put all these wonderful templates of Kim's art out in front of us, and we sat and talked about the kinds of words and emotions that the cards elicited in us. And so we had a little bit of a input into, I think, energetically at least, into some of the writing that Linda produced as well. So Linda is a wonderful mentor and friend, and I adore her.
Yeah, and she writes so wonderfully too, and it's just a shame that her books, I mean, I know they're very well, you know, widely read, should I say, but not widely enough, really. I mean, there's just so little understanding in outside of our small community somehow that they really deserve a bigger stage, and I think it's only a matter of time.
I think they are developing this sort of underground movement. The horse community is spreading the word out into a wider community. And actually, Kim just sent me an email talking about I won't steal her thunder, but a woman that had shown Kim's art DVDs to a class. She's a speech and language path, and she showed Kim's DVDs that you guys just did, and the response that she wrote about what the children got out of it was just unbelievable, Mark. You're not going to wait. You're going to want to hear about it.
I think Linda's teachings...
Have you heard it already? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, Kim's on the line. I don't know whether she wants to... Can she butt in there? Are you there, Kim?
I'm here. Hey, you. How you doing?
Hey, this call isn't supposed to be about me.
Hey, well, it's about
horses. Yeah, I know, but, you know, it's a great story, and Sandra was very kindly brought it up, and I just thought it might be appropriate if you've got it to hand for it to be read, because obviously you two do have a bit of a connection going on, especially with your workshop coming up later in the year. So
absolutely.
I was going to cover that later, but as you're there, why don't you just tell us a little bit about that testimonial from that lady, and then we can go in and just cover what you guys are going to be doing later in June, I think it is. That's
great.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So do you have that testimonial to hand, Kim?
I was just looking it up. I know I have it here.
Panic.
catch me off guard. It's my friend Kimbra Kern, who works with, she's a speech therapist, and actually, interestingly, she's also a friend of Sandra's.
I know.
From before I think I knew Sandra, even.
Yes.
You know, the connections are always amazing. But anyway, Kimbra had a girl in her, she works with various kids in, I'm not sure, in fact, I wrote her of the, you know, what group of kids are you working with here, but she said something about they had anger management issues and, you know, self-esteem and that sort of thing. And there's one girl in her class that was particularly drawn to horses, and there's that word again, and so she had shared my art with her, and when she saw the painting of the winged horse messenger, she said the girl just like was just overwhelmed and went home and started drawing and drew these amazing complex story drawings sort of thing. And so partly for her and for Kimber, I sent the DVD to see if she'd like it, and she decided to share it with her entire class of five kids, and she said none of the other kids were into drawing necessarily or had any real connection to that, but she decided to make it a lesson in connection of, you know, the positive side of peer pressure, in other words, rather than, you know, any pressure involved, just sharing something that, you know, with your peers. So she brought in that girl's love of horses as an example of what you can share, and they watched the DVD apparently, and she wrote here, let's see, out of the five students, Ciara was the only one who had ever drawn a horse. I have no idea if this activity would even fly with the other students, and I was in tears watching them draw. For 15 minutes straight, not one single word was uttered, and all they did was draw. At the end, they all wanted to put their pictures up on the bulletin board, and for 5 minutes they just stared at their art, saying, "I can't believe I did this. I never thought I could draw a horse." One student wanted copies to share with his teachers and family. He is one who had been in trouble for drawing guns. I guess she means actually drawing pictures of guns.
Hmm.
They all wanted to do more drawing and learn more. I was out feeding, sorry, I'm a little out of breath. They all want to do more drawing and learn more about the other exercises on your video. Ciara drew a horse in an entirely different style than what she has in the past and was in awe of what she had done. I could see them all more relaxed and centered when they left my class today. It also seemed like this was a self-esteem booster for them. In addition, many of the students have anger management issues, and they agreed this would be a way they could learn to calm their emotions. Kim, thank you very much for sending me this video and the gifts you have shared. It has been so wonderful to experience and share this with my class and see how it has been such an incredible experience for them. I stopped drawing at age 5 when my teacher made me stay after school because I did not draw the bird in the nest as she requested. I have many blocks to overcome, and I found that my students were more open than I was this morning. When I read all of that, I just, you know, it just made me cry. It was just so, so inspiring to me that, you know, these kids would be touched by that. And I've done a few lectures to kids in classes and presentations where I've drawn and had them draw. It was always really, really exciting. And for me to know that the DVD is able to do that is just really, really makes my whole, you know, that's just everything.
Yeah. Well, let's not get too stuck on that right now, because as you say, this is so under
right.
Cool.
Exactly.
And maybe we can discuss that on Wednesday, you and I,
mm-hmm.
If you got my email. So
yeah.
Let's just get back to what you guys are up to in June, yes? It's June.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sandra.
So, Sandra, Sandra, you go ahead and tell us what you guys are planning.
Well, Kim and I have been kind of, as you've discovered, weaving in and out of each other's lives for a number of years, and I think it was the Path of the Horse adventure that really solidified our seeing each other. I felt like we saw each other deeply for the first time last June. And so it was really wonderful to be able to think about how we could cross-pollinate our work. And with Kim's beautiful artistry and my experience as an expressive arts therapist, one of the things I do all the time is blend, because the horses work with us in image, which is really also the language of children. And that's why I think Kim's DVDs really are going to make, hopefully, a huge impact in the public school system, not only for their ability to allow children to express themselves artistically, but through doing that, being able to enter into that inner realm. Oh, that's not a good segue, Kim. That's the name of our workshop is called The Hidden Realms.
Or The Unseen Realms, yeah.
The Unseen Realms.
Yeah.
And so we're going to hopefully help and facilitate people entering into those inner places where they can access that, the wisdom that horses are so wonderful at proliferating in us.
Wow.
And so it'll be a two-day class and an evening where we're going to launch Kim's DVD here as well in Vancouver on the 18th of June.
Wow. And this is aimed at anybody, or are you looking for people?
Oh, gosh, anybody, please. And please know that horse and or art experience is not required at all.
In fact,
anyone that's ever
better.
Had a fear of putting pen to paper or pastel, we will create an environment that will support you in exploring those aspects of artistry, creativity, horsemanship, reflectivity. I don't think that's quite a real word, but reflection. And I can't wait. I can't. We already have a couple people registered, so we're really excited about it.
And I just wanted to ask you, I mean, it was interesting that you mentioned, Kim, that for children, they don't have those blocks, whereas actually the teacher was saying that she did have blocks as a result
mm-hmm.
of her childhood experiences. And it seems to me that, again, in the work that you do, Sandra, too, knowing a little bit about you, is that it's about kind of releasing some of those issues and getting rid of those blocks to free up, you know, let's call it spirit for want of a better word here. But getting to those inner realms, is that been your experience that the adults do have those issues in drawing and children do not?
Yes, I would say so. I think, I don't know if it's just an accumulation of a lifetime of, you know, the programming of our subconscious minds, which will segue into Sandra's work, but it's just the repetitive voices that we tell ourselves that we are what we're capable of. And, you know, as I said in one of our interviews, that, you know, adults will say, I can't even draw a stick figure, and that's almost like this programmed phrase that adults say about themselves, whereas some kids, at least, I mean, I'm sure there are some kids, I've encountered kids that, you know, even at the age of 8 or whatever, are already saying, well, I don't know how to draw and I'm not good at drawing or whatever. But they seem to get past it in a setting where they're allowed to play more quickly than an adult who might go through the motions, but they'll still be having that talking voice inside saying, I'm not doing it right or whatever. But I think that when someone gives themselves permission to engage in a workshop, or, you know, they're actually stepping forward into their own choice to do something about it, that's when they're really ready to open up.
And what's your experience been then, Sandra? Because obviously you use creative art in some of the work that you do too, right?
I try to as much as I can, actually, because what I'm finding is that talk therapy really only works with the conscious level of mind, and what I'm discovering through my learning with Psyche and brain research theory, et cetera, is that the keys to creating lasting change is working with the subconscious. And as Kim is saying, the reason that we as adults have so much more baggage to move around is that we have so many more stories that have been stored at the subconscious level of mind. So all of the times we've been told that we can't draw or we get a funny look or anything we've ever experienced is stored there. It's like the hard drive on our computer. So what we can do with horses is they actually illuminate for us what some of those blocks are, what some of the hidden messages are, and they're so good at bringing up for us in present day, present time, right there illuminating in front of us, what some of our limiting beliefs are. And I think
and
that's one of the gifts
exactly?
of horses,
can I just...
is that they do it not only, they do it in a real visceral way so that we're experiencing it in our body and our mind, and then that allows us to work with something then and there in the experience of the horses, and then taking it beyond language and moving it into the arts allows people to anchor their experience in a way so that the lessons aren't lost.
Right. So can I just ask you then, you say that horses are able to bring forward these or enable people to see the blockages that they're experiencing. What does that look like in practice? I mean, clearly
well,
it can vary person to person.
Maybe.
So give us Yeah, give us some
I'll
examples.
Give you an example for that might help illuminate it a bit. Working with a woman, for example, who kept attracting the wrong kind of man in her life and just really was having a hard time having healthy boundaries around how she was being treated and kept, you know, inviting, attracting, whatever, allowing people in her life that were not respectful of her. So when she came out to work with Grace, who's absolutely a master at teaching healthy boundaries. She was actually also a horsewoman and a horse trainer, so she was very used to being able to work with horses in a way that she got results. And so she came in to work with Grace, and she tried to use all of the tools she had previously used, and Grace kind of just looked at her and ignored her and actually turned around and walked away from her. And she just started to, she got angry at first, and then she broke down and started to cry, and she said this was exactly what was happening in her life, that she tried to have boundaries that were healthy, but then she would get too big and cause people to react back to her or to leave. And so what we ended up doing in that session was as soon as she was able to feel in her body the feelings that she was feeling and identify the patterns that had been previously established, as soon as she touched on that vulnerability piece, Grace turned around from the other side of the round pen and walked right up to her and put her head in her heart. And she just started to weep deep, cathartic tears. And then the smile came. And then we went on to continue with the exercise, and she very graciously and eloquently and gently and kindly asked Grace to do exactly what she had just asked to do before. And Grace was having nothing of it. And now Grace engaged with her and partnered with her, and they just look like a true relationship, a true partnership. And that happened in 20 minutes, half an hour or so.
Yeah, and these are the kind of stories in Linda's book as well. And
very much.
I just kind of think that people just can't believe, you know, wouldn't believe this. It's like, that's complete nonsense. You
know, no, and from the outside looking in, it just looks like someone walking around in a round pen. It doesn't look like much is happening, but I think that's where the gift of the facilitation comes in, is being able to translate the language for your human partner and your between your human partner and your horse partner. And
yeah.
I think that's where people like Linda that have had so many years of and hours of experience are able to watch and observe and be, as a facilitator, we really need to be in our bodies and not being triggered ourselves, so that we need to stay grounded and focused so we can interpret and feel what's going on in the round pen as well. And then the danger is, again, with interpretation, I'm putting it through my filters. So that's why the arts, again, are so powerful, is if someone can have a session like that and then come into the art studio and create a painting or a drawing or a sand tray or a poem or something that captures on a deeper level what happened for them in that experience. Even if they're just simply using color, it doesn't need to be shape at all. and then what they do is they anchor and they ground their experience. And what I hear from people over and over again is that is really a touchstone for them. The experience, they can often forget and kind of logic away, oh, well, that didn't really happen, oh, I was making that up. But when they take home their artwork or the writing that they did, that stays. It can't be lost. So that's why
that's
I really try and partner those two modalities as much as I can.
And do you think it's just because there's an expression of that emotion, those feelings, those discoveries, some physical manifestation? Okay, it's a drawing, but maybe they, as an alternative, they could have written notes or a journal, you know, a journal entry type of thing. Or do you think that the art is beyond writing? Do you understand my question?
I do understand your question, and I think I feel a couple of ways. I feel both ways about it, if that makes sense, because I think depending on how we use our language, the language can be very much an art form and an expressive art in and of itself. But I do know what you're saying. We're still languaging it. So as much as possible, I'm really open-ended, and people tend to gravitate to whatever modality they feel will help them the most in that time. And after people have worked with me for a while, they realize that whatever's in the art room is at their disposal. And so, and they just kind of intuitively know whether they need to get paint or pastel or sand or a piece of paper with a pen. So I really trust, again, that they know in their body's wisdom what the best course is for them.
Right.
And if they've never done it before, I'll offer suggestions, but most people tend to know.
And I guess it's just a lot more immediate, isn't it? You know, and
it is.
Because you're with language, you're having to, okay, you can do stream of consciousness as you write.
Yes.
But
yes.
But there's still an element of thought going on there, I think. Whereas I think if you were to just pick up a pastel and start to just put it on paper there, you can almost bypass the conscious mind, perhaps.
Yeah, very true.
And
what happens
is
people will get stuck in the beginning. They'll think, oh, I have to make this drawing or this color look like something. But once they can move past, as you said, past the conscious mind and just allow their body to speak through the pastel or through the paintbrush, then that's when we're getting into it. And that's the goal, is to be able to allow them to speak from that level as opposed to their thought base level.
Mm-hmm.
So horses take
deeper
than words. Yeah, and so do the arts.
Yeah.
Pardon me, Mark?
I was just going to say, I'd like to thank Kim for jumping in there. I could see she was out there, so I just thought I'd bring her in.
Yeah, thank you. It was a perfect, segue.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
And
she told
and so,
me she was going to be there.
Well, I could see her, you see, because she's called into this number before, so I popped up on my screen here. So.
Oh, perfect.
That,
I was telling her
well.
I was feeling nervous about the call, so I was glad that she was going to be there. I knew there would be some friendly ears out there.
Holding your telephonic hand.
Exactly.
So the details of your course can, of course, be found on both of your websites. So that's chironsway.com, right?
Yes.
And then spiritofhorse.com. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, guys. So if I could ask Kim to mute herself out, and to do that, and for everyone else listening, it's *6 to mute yourself. And if anybody wants to ask a question, I know there are several people on the line. For those who've called in by telephone, if you do *2, I should be able to see you kind of raise your hand telephonically. I've not done this before on this new system we've got here. So at *2, and apparently you'll wave at me on the screen somehow.
Oh, that's so
and,
fun.
And then I can cue you in. If you're listening online just to the sort of the webcast player, and I know there are several people listening in that way, it's the usual thing if you're go down to the Q&A box below and just type, "Hello, Mark, this is my question," and then I can ask it on your behalf. So we do have a question that came in earlier before the call, since the call was announced, and it's from Mary in Massachusetts. And
hey,
she's asking, I am a creative arts facilitator. Do you offer training in the work you do? If not, do you have any suggestions where I might find it?
Oh, thank you for your question. Yes, absolutely I do. I haven't decided on the date for it yet because I've got a couple things floating around, but I do offer something called, excuse me, the Art of Equus. And I taught it at the Horses and Healing Conference in New Hampshire, which is Boo McDaniel's wonderful, amazing program, and she's one of the co-founders of EFMA. And I taught a one-day program there as a taster and got some really wonderful feedback, and have since offered it as a week-long program. And what we do is I take people through, and I'm always getting more to add, but I always seem to run out of time, but I'm so excited and passionate about blending the expressive arts with the horsework that what I do in that week is we literally immerse ourselves in as many expressive arts experiences as I can get into the week. And then we talk about the practical applications of how to put those in when working with the horses. Now, I used to do that as a year-long program, but what I've done now is I've teased those two things apart. So I teach the facilitation with horses separately, and now I teach the expressive arts piece separately as well, because I found that some people wanted to just come for the expressive arts. So it's called The Art of Equus, and hopefully I'll have the dates up in the next few weeks, but I'm looking at this winter sometime, over the winter, because in the summertime when the weather's nice, we're all outside working with our horses, and this is something that we can do when it's not dependent on the weather.
Thank
you for your question, but also there's, you know, you can take any expressive arts course you can find anywhere. One of the things I think I help the people that come to the classes learn and appreciate is it's really, we can use our own imagination and creativity. We don't necessarily have to be taught how to. We just have to turn on to it. So I can go into a bookstore and find a magazine, and there will be an activity in there that I can say, yes, that would work perfectly with this client, or I can incorporate that into this expressive arts horse workshop. So there's always a connection, and I think that's one of the things I'm really good at, is helping people see and make connections between what they already have within them and their learning that they've already attained, and how to be able to use that for themselves to create their own wonderful program.
Right. And you use these the expressive arts in you know, therapy, as we've just spoken about. And what sort of types of trauma and stress do you come across in that area?
Oh gosh, Mark, I've worked with, I've pretty much worked with the gambit, you know, working in the public school system. I've had ministry contracts where I've worked with children in foster care that have just had lives that you can't even imagine. And then, you know, the expressive arts aren't just for working with trauma, and the horses aren't either. They're also for helping us realize our dreams, and to set goals and establish them and then work towards them. So it's about trauma on one level, but it's also about reclaiming our joy and our creativity. So one of the things I think people get when they hear expressive arts therapy or therapy in general, it's kind of a bit of a frightening, dirty word sometimes. And so to realize that the expressive arts are a modality that can tap into, whether you're working with corporate executives on creative leadership, communication, they really transcend all levels of learning and wellness. So certainly with trauma, they are an effective tool, but they're also a wonderful way of helping people reconnect with their inner child, capture their playful nature. They're just beautiful and very flexible.
Yeah. And what about something that sort of cropped up a couple of times on my radar recently is stress management. Is that something that would work together?
Definitely. Well, I find that if I've had a bit of a day, the best thing for me is actually the zen of manure, and going out and picking up the manure and being with the horses is just the most wonderful way of de-stressing. But one of the things I make sure I do for myself is, here at home with the kids here, I never seem to have my own art space. So I will go into Vancouver and take a class in art or in expressive arts. Now I'm taking a photography class starting next week. So I really want to make sure that
right.
I also have these creative outlets for myself, because they help keep me grounded, and I'm a lifelong learner, so I like to keep learning. But they're a wonderful, de-stressing, invigorating, inspiring, captivating way of not only continuing our learning curve, but also to allow us to just be grounded and centered and balanced.
Yeah, yeah. I read an interesting book the other day, and it was saying that really the aim of life is just growth. That's it.
Yeah,
we're
adaptive and we constantly evolve. It's part of our biological nature as a biological organism to continually do that. And as humans,
yeah.
we have this wonderful big cortex sitting up there that likes to be stimulated. So otherwise,
yeah,
we just kind of atrophy.
Yeah. Okay, I'd like to talk about Site K now, because we did touch on it briefly when I met with you last year, and I'd like to understand it a bit more. So perhaps you can start by explaining at a very basic level what it is, and then we can go into it in a bit more detail.
Sure. Well, Site K is something that actually Connie introduced to me a number of years ago, and she kept urging me to go and take a class and take a class, and I just never could find the time. And so finally in October of 2007, I was able to take my first class. And Site K is offered in two sets of workshops. The first class is called the basic class, and it's actually, in my mind, a bit of a misnomer, because what you learn in the basic class is truly the foundation of Site K. And then there's something called the advanced class, which is a four-day class. So after I learned Site K, I was using it with my clients and seeing phenomenal results. What it is it uses muscle testing, and there's all kinds of schools that use muscle testing, but Site K uses it in a particular way. And it uses muscle testing to find out what beliefs we hold at the subconscious level of mind and whether those beliefs are empowering or disempowering. And because the subconscious mind is this vast storehouse, it knows and remembers everything we've ever experienced. Some people would say from conception to present day, and other people would say from birth to present day. So in utero, we're supposed to be able to also have our subconscious influenced. So everything, every smell, every thought, everything you witness, everything you hear is all stored. So that information, that all of that data, per se, influences the decisions that we make in our lives today. So what we want to know using Site, or we can use Site K to find out, is whether or not, if I were to say, for example, I deserve the best that love and life have to offer, and I were to muscle test that. If I tested weak, that would mean that when I say that, I've created a conflict and my subconscious doesn't agree with it. So it would make sense for me to want to have that statement as true, and that my subconscious would support it. So what Site K does is it teaches you a series of processes in order to essentially rewrite and reprogram your beliefs when you come across ones that are disempowering or limiting, to change them and to rewrite them into ones that are empowering. And so the segue with the horses is, as I said earlier, the horses tend to illuminate and bring up for us what our limiting beliefs are, and also, conversely, what our goals and aspirations and dreams are. So we can use Site K in that exact moment when something comes up for us to change our beliefs at the subconscious level of mind. And that's what the basic class teaches. And after 2 days of learning, it's the most powerful, fun, quick, easy to learn, transformative method that I have ever learned. And I've studied all kinds of different modalities, EMDR, you name it, I've studied it. And it's just the most wonderful, easy, lay people can learn it. You don't have to have a degree in psychology and Site K actually stands for psychological kinesiology. You don't have to have any of that pre-learning, because you learn everything you need to know in the class to create these changes. So I'm seeing it affect what I'm calling, as whole-brained horsemanship, because one of the byproducts of using Site K is that you access both hemispheres of the brain. And one of the things we learn from many horse people is that they say, oh, my horse is always goes right-brained in this situation. I want him to be able to think more and process more instead of just going into fight or flight. And so one of the things we see is that we can do that for ourselves as humans. We can become more whole-brained and so in turn affect our relationship with our horses and their comfort level around being with us when we are in a whole-brained state. And then with the advanced level of Psyche, you can also work with your horses and help them to become more whole-brained and more balanced. So it has far-reaching effects in our industry and as horse people, but also in my industry in human wellness and being able to work with kids and as well. Kids just don't have as much, as Kim was saying earlier, they don't have as much stored in the subconscious level of mind, so they rewriting the programming, so to speak, doesn't take as long. And my girls just love doing Psyche, and when I work with it in the school system, you know, one or two balances with children is turning their outlook on school around. Parents are commenting, teachers are commenting. It's just quite an amazing tool, and I'd love to see it in the hands of everyone because it's so efficient.
Yeah, I mean, I have a very good friend who's a chiropractor in the UK, and they use kinesiology very widely, well, all the time, really, for everything they do, testing this, testing that. And and again, it's one of those things that we say, ah, kinesiology, yes, of course. But to the outside world, it's, again, perhaps, and even to people who might be listening to the call, it's like, oh, what, you know, what's all that about? So just talk us through the background to kinesiology or just in simple terms, what it tests.
Okay. Well, I love his name. Dr. George Goodhart was the gentleman who brought applied kinesiology to North America around 40 years ago or so. And he was a chiropractor, and it was used a lot. Originally, what they used applied kinesiology to discover, and still do, is that you create a biofeedback loop by running your hand down someone's spine, per se, and then on their other arm, you're pressing down. And so when your hand touches a place where there might be a subluxation, that's a weakness in the bioelectric signal, and so the arm goes down. So in Psyche, what we're doing is we're using the same principle of muscle testing. So an arm will go out to the side, and I'll put my hand on your shoulder, and then I'll press down on your wrist that's sticking out to the side, and I'll have you say something like, "My name is Mark," and well, your subconscious mind should agree with that, so your arm will stay strong. But if I were to have you say, "My name is Sandra," there's no data to support that, so we've just created a conflict in your mind. And so what happens is when there's that conflict, the subconscious mind controls the impulses to our muscles, the electrical signals to our muscles. And so when we say or do something that creates a conflict, the electrical impulse to the muscle is interrupted, and that's why we get a weak muscle response. So if you were to say, "My name is Sandra," and I pressed on your wrist, your arm should go weak. Now, that's a very simplistic example. We want to be able to start to use these in more life-changing ways. So, for example, I had in May of 2008, I had a very severe riding accident with Chiron, and I was knocked unconscious and broke my body up pretty badly. And when I came out of that experience, I started to use Psyche to heal my physiology, my body. And so what I did was I muscle tested myself. My body heals quickly and easily, and I tested weak. And every muscle test I did on myself around my body's ability to heal tested weak. So what I did was I used Psyche to change that, so now that when I say my body heals efficiently and effortlessly, now I test strong. And so I did for about 2 days, all I did was muscle testing and balancing. And my body healed quick. My doctors couldn't believe how quickly my body was healing. So Bruce Lipton's written an amazing book called The Biology of Belief, which I would encourage everyone to read. And what he talks about is our beliefs affect our physiology, our biology, not our genetics, as is previously thought. So the central dogma out there that I even learned in my biology degree was genetics control your physiology. They're your blueprint of life. Well, what he's discovered is it's actually our perceptions of our environment, our beliefs, that can control our physiology. And so we're seeing people being able to change their beliefs and eradicate cancer and thyroid hormone output and you name it. It's affecting our physiology. So translate that now into our ability. If we're sitting on a horse, Candace Pert says that our body is our subconscious mind. So if we're sitting on a horse, we're really sitting on our horses and being with our horses with our subconscious mind. And if our subconscious mind is running programs that are saying it's not safe to be around horses, horses are scary, horses are dangerous, you can't trust them, et cetera, even though we don't know that we're doing that on a conscious level, we might have those programs running subconsciously, which I did after my accident. So now we want to be able to, quote, unquote, clean up our own homes, our own bodies, our own beliefs, so that when we're working with horses, we're coming to them in a more grounded, authentic, balanced, per se, to use Psyche language, way. And what we're seeing, my friend Ainsley Beauchamp, who runs BC Horse Vacation, she's also taken the advanced class here, and she's using Psyche with her riding students as well, and she's just seeing phenomenal results, because most of the people that come to her and to me have some sort of fear level around their working with horses. Whether it doesn't matter how much they love them, there's this underlying fear. And what we're seeing is that the Psyche is able to work with those beliefs at the subconscious and really allow these people to come into a different relationship with themselves and in turn their horses, and therefore their horses are now engaging with them in a completely different way. So the potential
right.
is just vast.
Is and when, for example, you had your after your accident, and you tested yourself for, you know, I heal quickly and easily, and
mm-hmm.
you tested weak, and then you said you spent 2 days just testing yourself again and again and again. Was it you were just going down levels and looking, you know, chunking it down to get to where the issue was? Is that how it worked?
No, not per se. What I would do is I would ask if there's a priority statement that I need to balance for to help me heal quickly and effortlessly. And at that point, what I'm doing is I'm tapping into my superconscious mind, so that higher self is guiding me to find that. But what I would do is every time I would, because I couldn't go up or down the stairs, I couldn't really move, I couldn't do anything. So every time I would try to do something and I couldn't, I would say, all right, so how do I want this to be instead? Well, I want to be able to move freely and comfortably. Okay, so there's a statement I can balance for. So then I would say to myself, I can move, it's easy for me to move freely and comfortably. And I would muscle test that and I would go weak. So then I would do the Psyche K processes and balance it. And now I test strong too. I can move easily and comfortably. So every time
yeah.
over those couple of days that I came up against something that was getting in my way of healing quickly and effortlessly, I would balance for it.
Right.
And then I also did beliefs around, I deserve to have a happy, healthy body, right? Those kinds of
yeah,
things
yeah.
as well. So my belief in myself and that I deserved to have a healthy body and that it was easy for me to do this. So it was quite, at that point, what I was saying, I had been working with Psyche with my clients since the October before that accident, so about 6 or 7 months. And it wasn't, and I was seeing all kinds of wonderful results with my clients, but I was not using Psyche with myself at that point. I'm too busy. I have 2 kids. I run my business. Greg travels, you know, all kinds of things going on. And it was that accident that really, it was such a huge gift for me in so many different ways, on so many different levels. And it really was the turning point for me in knowing intellectually that Psyche worked and knowing it then in my body, in my own experience. And now I do Psyche constantly. I mean, you can use it for manifesting, like I wanted to be able to travel internationally to teach Psyche. I'm going to Glastonbury next month, and I'm going to Moscow in April to teach Psyche. And I wanted to be able to become a published author, so I I did some balances around that, and 2 days later I got an invitation from Kathy Pike to contribute to the Horace's Teacher book, and I wrote the chapter in 2 days and submitted it and sent it off. And so Psych-K can also be used not only to be reparative and restorative, but also to be invoking all of the dreams and passions and goals that we have. It just seems to, what it does is it allows us to get out of our own way. So if I have a goal to get from A to B and I'm using my willpower, which is what the conscious mind is all about, it processes information at 2,000 pieces of information a second. And if my subconscious doesn't have the beliefs that I need to get from A to B, it's actually pointing in the other direction, but it processes information at 4 billion bits of information a second. So you can see how having the power and the volume of the subconscious mind to support you and move along with you, it's so important that it's pointing in the same direction as what your goals are. So when we get the two those levels of mind working together, and when we have our left and right hemisphere of our brain working together so that we're in whole brain states, we're just seeing that the ceilings are coming off on our potential. It's, people's lives are just changing. And to me, how that affects our ability to engage with and be in relationship with horses is what I'm really, really excited about right now.
Yeah, indeed. And so the you offer workshops and courses on this, and is it so people can get to the point where they can muscle test themselves and solve their own issues? Is that the
Yes. I love seeing people one-on-one, but I would much rather give people these tools and teach them these tools so that they can change their lives on their own whenever the whim strikes them. So the basic, I am one of 40 instructors worldwide. There's Psych-K instructors all over the world, and classes are taught all over the world. And the first class is the basic class. It's a weekend class generally. It's just 2 days. And after that class, you leave knowing how to self-muscle test, so you can do muscle testing with yourself, but also knowing how to facilitate muscle testing and change in other people. Ideally, it's nice if you can come with somebody, with the buddy, because then actually, I just had the last class I just taught here in Maple Ridge was all horse people. It was amazing. And a number of them came with buddies. And so what they're doing is they go home with their friend and they get together regularly and they take turns facilitating with each other. And they're just seeing all kinds of incredible results. So I'm seeing the horse community really starting to come into Psych-K because the potential is there for not only creating change within ourselves, but with our horses as well. And so, yeah, there's the two-day class, and then if people are so inclined, there's an advanced class after that. And some people never take it. Some people take it right away. Some people sit with it for a few months and then decide to take it. It's really up to them. And then what I hope to be able to offer as well is once people have this understanding and this learning is to be able to teach some whole-brained horsemanship classes so that we're talking the same language in terms of Psych-K, but now how do we apply it in our horse lives?
Yeah, I mean, it's so across the board, all of this, isn't it? You know, it's so connected. That's what I mean.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't get away, you can't look at things in isolation, and all the different people that we come across and the wonderful people that I get to meet, and they're all doing slightly different things, but it's so connected. It's great. And of course, this all ties in a long time back with some of the sort of more personal development type of work and study that I did going back a fair few years now. And it's all kind of come full circle. It's amazing.
That's exciting.
What's
your kind
view
of work
then
were
on?
You, were you studying? Mark?
Well, you know, I did the usual thing. I mean, I guess most of the people in the U.S. have heard of Tony Robbins. I first.
Yep, love Tony. I have a firewalker.
Yeah, me too. More than one. So, yeah. So,
but the thing about Tony is that, and with so many of these wonderful, amazing, motivational people, is they're still working with the conscious level of mind. So you go and you're so motivated and you're sleep deprived and you stay up all night and it's just amazing and phenomenal. And you're so excited, but because the subconscious hasn't bought in, you kind of lose steam after a while, and many people that go to these classes end up sputtering out after a while because the willpower just doesn't stay. And that's, I think, that's for me, that's the difference between Psyche K and many of the other modalities, is it's really working with this massive change agent called the subconscious mind.
Well, funny you should mention that and describe it just as you did there, because after I did Tony Robbins, I actually went on and studied with some other people, one other person, and they were focusing on the subconscious mind, not obviously
Excellent.
Not in the same way. But when I was asked to say, well, what was the difference between the two, I said, well, it was accessing the subconscious mind. And it was a difference between sort of working all around whatever the issue was and actually getting to the heart of what the issue
yes.
was.
Yeah.
And basically the subconscious was the missing bit, really.
Yeah.
And there's only
actually,
so,
Rob
there's
Williams
only
is
so
the
long
founder
you can...
of... Pardon me?
Go ahead. There's obviously a bit of a delay on the line here. I can hear you quite instantly, but I think there's a delay going the
okay.
other way.
You said the missing piece, that's the title of Rob Williams' book, who's the founder of Psyche K. It's called The Missing Piece in Your Life, and it's P-I-E-C-E, and then he crosses it off and puts P-E-A-C-E. So Rob and Bruce Lipton do a number of things together, another classes together, and Bruce gets asked all the time, well, it's great to know that your biology is influenced by your thoughts and your beliefs, but how, in fact, do you actually change those beliefs? And then Bruce will say, well, you learn Psyche and you go and study this. So the biology of belief and the psychology of change are married in their workshops.
So who was that, the first guy you mentioned, the book about the beliefs book? What was the name of that
The
guy?
Biology of Belief is written by Dr. Bruce Lipton, and you can Google him. He's just a firecracker to watch on YouTube. He's so much fun. And then Rob Williams is the founder of Psyche K, and you can also watch Rob talk about Psyche K online as well, and it's quite wonderful. There's lots of different bits out on YouTube now that you can catch and see. It's a great place for people to go and just get a taste of what I'm talking about here. And
yeah,
you can also go to
fabulous.
The PsycheK.com website to look for classes in your area. And then you're also, and if anyone's interested as well, I'd be more than happy to connect them with someone in their area. Or I also love to travel to teach Psyche K. So if there's anyone that is interested that's a horse person that wants to bring Psyche K to their area, I'd be honored to do that as well. And that's kind of why I'm going to Moscow. I'm going to teach Psyche K, but the woman that's inviting me there has also asked if I will do some equine-assisted therapy with a couple of children that are there. So I'll be hopefully building a bridge into Russia with EGD and being able to get back there and teach some classes in the horse work as well.
Wow, wow. And you said you're going to Glastonbury next month, is that right?
Oh, I am. I'm so excited. I'm an Arthurian
legend
fan.
So I have to do a double take then.
Pardon?
I had to do a double take then, Glastonbury. Well, it's just down the road from where I often spend time in the UK. So, in England.
Oh, are you going to be there in March?
Well, when are you there in March?
I'm there over the equinox. March,
of course.
I think March 19th.
When else would you be hanging
29th.
Out with? Yeah, I will be in the UK then. Yes.
We might have to try and hook up. I would love that. You know, I've always wanted to go to Glastonbury tour. And the Chalice Well and all of those places. So all I did was I did a Psyche K balance, and boom, the next thing you know, I'm going to the UK.
Wow. Is that your first time to the UK?
No, I've been to England a couple times and to Ireland once. And my intention, those were just pleasure trips. My intention is to get back there and teach, and I always thought I would be going back there to teach the horse work, but as it turns out, I wasn't specific, so I'm going back and teaching Psyche K. But I have set an intention to be able to teach at Findhorn next year up in Scotland. I have a friend in Scotland who's inviting me up to teach Psyche K, and hopefully that will happen next year, because I've never been to Scotland, and I would really love to go there as well.
Yeah, oh, fabulous. Oh, wow. So you're just going this time to Glastonbury just to hang out at the solstice?
No, I'm teaching something called a Divine Integration Retreat, which is after you've taken the basic and advanced class in Psyche K, it's Psyche K's gift back to those folks, and it's our way of saying thank you. And it's a workshop that encourages and helps people to connect with their own sense of their own divinity. So that's something I couldn't imagine being in a more divine, sacred, spiritual place than Glastonbury.
Yeah.
So my friend Mary,
yeah,
who lives in Bristol, she and I are going to be teaching this class together, and then she's going to come here in June and teach a class here. And then Kim and I, just before Kim comes, and then Kim and I will be teaching over the summer solstice here in Maple Ridge, which is just outside of Vancouver. So
wow,
it's going to be a busy June, but very, very, very wonderful and an exciting,
yeah,
time.
Indeed. In fact, I just looked up on the Psyche K website, and I found Mary in Bristol.
Yay.
So
she's lovely.
There you go. Yeah, and
there's a couple instructors in Germany, because that's where you are, right? In Germany, where,
yeah,
are,
but
you?
My kids are in southern England, which is about 2 hours from Glastonbury.
Okay. Well, and Cassie is in Brighton. Is that close to where your kids are?
Brighton's probably the other way.
Oh, okay.
Brighton's probably only about an hour and a half the other way from where they are.
Okay.
So
it's very close. Well,
yeah,
we might just have to hook up.
Yeah, well, I think that'd be great. So
that'd be fun.
Well, we won't discuss the arrangements.
No, we won't. We won't.
We'll do that offline, perhaps. We're actually running out of time, which is a shame, because I think we could go on for a while, which is probably a good reason why we should meet up again.
I would love that.
So what I was going to say was we just had a quick question here from Joy, who's a student and friend of yours.
Oh, Joy Lethbridge. Hi, Joy.
She doesn't give... Oh, Joy Lethbridge, I can see this. I wonder where that she came from. She says, Sandra,
Alberta,
when you are working with clients, do you keep specific files, pictures of the client's work as a therapeutic chart?
Yes.
I
take photographs with their permission, and then what I do is I have my, you know, my files that I keep as a therapist anyway, and what I do is I put my notes into an online file that I keep on my computer, and what I will do is attach the photographs that I take into there. And a lot of people like to see the work that they've done. I mean, of course, they're taking it home with them a lot of the times, but some people don't want to take their artwork home. They feel like it's not something they can share with the outside world as yet. And so I will.
Mm-hmm.
I have a place also in my office where I keep people's work for them. But I will send them a photograph of it so that they can have it as well. And on that note, I love to take photos of people when they're in the reflective sessions or active sessions with the horses. And I remember doing a session with Noche at Linda's and never got a photo of it. And it was a moment of a lifetime for me. And I would have loved to have had a photo. So what I always do when I'm working with people now, particularly in workshops, is I will ask them if they would like me to take some photos while they're working. And I'm really unobtrusive. You don't really even notice that I'm there. And they're so in their experience. And people tell me over and over again how grateful they are to have those photos. And actually, the little DVD that we ran at the Path of the Horse Mark that you said people were asking,
mm-hmm,
you if they could get a copy of, a,
mm-hmm,
number of those pictures on there, and I have permission to have them publicly out there, were those kinds of photos of people in that intimate moment with the horses. So people really like to be able to have that documented and as a keepsake.
Wow. So there you go. And I, excuse me, I've got the little cough in my throat there. And I believe you're, well, I know from Davina that you're also take some wonderful photos, so I look forward to seeing those too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, every once in a while something pops off my camera.
Right.
And so I'm really excited. I will tell you, I'm going to be going and joining Tony Stromberg again in with my friend Sue. We're going to Sable Island this fall to do a photo shoot there. And I don't know if you're familiar of the Sable Island horses off the coast of Canada, east coast of Canada.
Mm-mm, no.
It's a island where some horses were, I guess, quote, shipwrecked, so to speak, and they've lived there for many, many years, and it's become a park because it's been established that you have to get a special permit to get onto the island, and you're only allowed to stay there for a certain amount of time because the horses are protected. So in contrast with some of the other things that we are seeing happening in the horse world, this is one thing that I think we can applaud and be grateful for, that these horses are well taken care of.
And so they live as wild
live as wild horses on Sable Island. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I know. I've not heard of that. And
yeah.
Well, it's been a while since I have spoken with Tony in the past. So yeah, I'd like to connect up with him again at some point.
Oh, he's wonderful. He and I were in the same Epona class together. That's where I met Tony.
We're small world, eh? Small world.
It is.
Well, I'm afraid we are going to have to bring the call to a close, which is a shame.
Oh, you know what? I was so nervous at the beginning, and now I just...
Yeah, no problems at all.
I want to say thank you, Mark, because you really are... I've listened to so many of the calls, and I always find that you're such a wonderful moderator, and you really do ask wonderful questions and facilitate people's experiences. But it's a whole different thing being on the receiving end of those questions. I was quite nervous about it, and I have to say... I felt very comfortable once we got started, so thank you very much for facilitating that for me.
Well, thank you for being so kind. It comes from a place of not knowing anything and being completely ignorant.
You
so,
do not do yourself justice at all.
I can ask the dumb questions that perhaps a few other people might want to ask too. So when I ask people, do you want to stick your hand up and ask questions? I don't get much response, and I think it's because they think, the idiot's already asking all those questions, so that's fine.
I doubt it at all. I doubt that.
Okay, listen, well, let's make sure we get in touch again before you come over in March, and we'll get together then, so that'd be terrific.
I'd love that. Thank you so very
much. So I'd like to thank
everyone. Thank you, everyone who joined us.
Yeah. Yes, indeed, and I can see everyone out there. Kim's still on the line, and there's going to be plenty of others too. So thanks again, and whether you're listening online now or by phone or you're going to listen in later on the replay, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Sandra for being our special guest today. It was wonderful, and I look forward to touching base with you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Great. Thank you, and go Canada, because Canada's playing the USA in the men's gold medal hockey game just in an hour here, so had to put that on there.
I'm not sure we can say things like that, but okay, I'll let you off. Okay.
Well, we've had the Olympics
Sandra.
Here for the last couple of weeks in Vancouver.
Well, we're not unaware of that. We're not unaware of that. And you're leading the Germans in the medal table, so...
with gold medal only.
Yeah, they're hoping to overhaul you, but I don't think that's going to happen. But
who do you cheer for living in Germany and being from the UK?
Well, Britain's won one gold medal, and the rest has been a disaster, so I tend to keep quiet about that. Go Deutschland,
okay.
Go Deutschland. We're up in second place in the table, you see.
You are, but the Americans are first.
Yeah, well, can't win them all. Okay,
no.
You take care.
Thank
enjoy
you, Mark.
The rest of
Have
your day, guys.
Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye, and bye.
Thank you.